Join me in Galatians. We'll start a new series today, the book of Galatians, in the Pew Bible, page 1751. The book of Galatians, as we begin a new series here, I'll read to you this morning the first five verses of chapter 1. More of an introduction here today as we begin our study. Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers with me, to the churches in Galatia. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I pray the Lord's blessing on the reading of our word in this beautiful book of Galatians. It is the first of the Apostle Paul's writings that we have in Scripture. It was his first of 13 letters that appears in our Bible. He first visited the region of Galatia during his first missionary journey, some 30 years previous to the writing of this letter. And he is writing this letter to address a problem. If you look with me at verse 6, I didn't read it, but verse 6, Paul says, "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel," which is really no gospel at all. See, the people of the area of Galatia were faced with an issue. They had been converted to Jesus Christ through Paul's first missionary journey. And as he went away, others came into the church and they began to mislead the people. They misled them in saying that, yes, you can believe in Jesus Christ, but you need to be circumcised also. The Jewish influence, if you will, into the area in the church. They believed that you could confess Jesus Christ, but you could not, should not necessarily turn your back on the traditional things of the faith, of which was circumcision. I'll get more into that as we proceed into the letter. But basically, Paul's entire argument here is the difference between grace of God and the bondage of the law. And we need to make sure we understand particularly his reference to bondage of the law. The churches of Galatia were in what we would today see as northeastern central Turkey, the highlands of Turkey. And as we look at this letter, it has the customary greeting. It is from the Apostle Paul, also with those who were with him in his ministry. He mentions the brothers and sisters that are with him. And then he gives a blessing. Look at verse 3. "Grace and peace to you." Grace and peace to you. It is a tremendous blessing of which I will spend time digging into here just in a moment. But first, I would like to submit to you and ask you a question. Why does Paul repeatedly identify himself as an apostle? Only four of his letters do not have this address. But in nine of his 13 letters, he identifies himself as an apostle. Why? Why does he need to do that? He was repeatedly challenged. Paul was repeatedly challenged that he was not an apostle. After all, he was not one of the original 12. He was not one of the original 12 that spent time with Jesus Christ in his ministry. He was not one of the disciples. But he had even more going against him. In the beginning, Paul was a persecutor of those who followed Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Acts chapter 9, if you would. A couple of books to your left. Acts chapter 9. Here we see Paul's conversion on the road to Damascus. But you can see here why some would not consider him an apostle. Acts chapter 9, it says, "Meanwhile, Saul," which was his name before his conversion, "Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, being a Christian, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." Here, in brief, we have Saul's conversion to Paul. And here he is called to be a member of our Lord's ministry, and it is here on this event that he becomes an apostle. How does one become an apostle? How does one become an apostle? Here in Paul's brief story, we see an idea of that. The great commentator John Stott says, "The apostles were personally chosen, called and commissioned by Jesus Christ, and authorized to teach in his name." So by this, we see that the apostle is one who has seen Jesus Christ personally, who has been called by Jesus Christ personally, and been commissioned by Jesus Christ to go out into the ministry. And we see that here with Paul. There were those that believe, even with this, that Paul was not an apostle. There were those that challenged it. Look at again at verse 1 of chapter 1. Paul says, "An apostle sent not from men, nor by man, but by Jesus Christ." There were those who would argue with Paul that he was not one of the disciples, therefore he did not have the authority, which was very important. Why did Paul give so much effort to defend his apostleship? Why did he repeatedly defend his apostleship, him being an apostle? It was because the gospel he preached was at stake. If Paul were not an apostle, if Paul were not one authorized by Jesus Christ, if Paul were not one called by Jesus Christ, then his message would come into question. And so time and time and time again, he spoke of being an apostle. Therefore, he had the authority of Jesus Christ to preach the message that was given to him. And there is a message here for us as well. We are not apostles, but we are Christians. If we call on the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, then we are Christians. And just like Paul, who had a message to share, you and I have a message to share. But if we do not live as Christians, if we do not conduct our lives in ways given to us by Holy Scriptures, much like I pointed out to the children, the things they saw there in those few small pictures of what a Christian would do as opposed to a non. If we live lives that are not authentic Christians, then what happens to our message? What happens to our witness? Just like Paul would be disregarded if he were not an apostle. If we did not live, if we do not live the Christian life, then our message would be rejected just as we are rejected. One of the great challenges of the church today is not being the church, not being the people of Jesus Christ, not living a life bringing glory to Jesus Christ. We have the authority of Jesus Christ as we share our message. We are authentic. I pray we are authentic as we live our Christian life. Now, let's turn our attention to the message particularly. We see it summarized here in five words in verse 3. Paul says, "Grace and peace to you." Now, please know these are no formal, meaningless words. They are full of theological meaning. Let's take the word peace. Paul's message of peace. Paul's message of peace is a transcending message. Paul's message of peace is a message that we need to hear. Paul's message of peace speaks of the nature of salvation in Jesus Christ. Peace. The peace of Jesus Christ, it is the nature of salvation. Or more particularly, when we are reconciled to Jesus Christ, then we are said to be at peace with Jesus Christ. There is no longer any enmity between myself and Jesus Christ. So if I have peace, then there is peace between me and God. If I am truly redeemed, then there is a peace within me, a peace with God, also a peace with my brothers and sisters, a peace with mankind. Most importantly, salvation brings peace within. If there is a message the world needs to hear today, it is the message of peace. Not the message of peace of being non-combative, although that is certainly a part of it, but the peace that comes only through a redeemed life, and that at the great blessing of God through Jesus Christ. I read an article this week from Franklin Graham, and he was speaking on the subject of the horrible events in Boston of a couple of weeks ago. And he was asked to come and speak to a group, and I think he did agree to go and do that. But he said, speaking to a group of people is not going to bring peace. Speaking to a group of people and identifying those who committed such a heinous act, bringing them to justice, is certainly necessary, but that's not going to alleviate the issues that are before us. He said, and he was quite adamant in his statement, saying that only a salvation in Jesus Christ, only coming to know Jesus Christ, will resolve the issues we have before us. Now, please don't hear in that that Christians are perfect and Christians don't commit issues. But when we look at the world's problems, the peace that transcends all understanding, that comes through and by the love of Jesus Christ, is the answer. It is the answer to our issues. Jesus said in John 14, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." He said to the woman who anointed him at Bethany, he said, "Your faith has saved you. Now go in peace." Her faith in Jesus Christ saved her, but a product of her salvation was the peace that she now understood in her heart. She was no longer conflicted in her soul, and she found peace in Jesus Christ. So when we read these messages here in Scripture, peace to you, please do not see this as an empty word. It is full of meaning. It is a peace that only comes through Jesus Christ. Paul's desire is that you understand, that his readers understand the peace of which he speaks. I ask you, do you know of this peace that Paul speaks of? Are you at peace with yourself? In your spirit, is there peace? Do you have the peace of God which transcends all understanding? Are you at peace with those around you? Or are you conflicted? Are there issues? Are there battles within your soul? Are there battles within those and around with those around you? Paul's message of peace is the same message I would give any of you. And it's not an empty message. It comes through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Peace. It's something we pray for. But do we desire the true peace that comes through Jesus Christ? Paul also brings in this word grace, which if you were to summarize the book of Galatians, he would use the word grace. Grace and peace to you. Grace. Peace is the nature of salvation. Grace would be the source of salvation. Grace of God through Jesus Christ. Grace is found in God's free favor. Grace is given out of the mercy of God alone. It is not merited by our works. We can't earn it. We can't do anything to warrant the grace of God. Salvation is found in the grace of God alone, through faith alone, through Christ alone, to the glory of God alone. Paul writes to the church in Thessalonica, "Our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us by his grace, gave us eternal encouragement through grace." In our Sunday school class, we're studying grace from an Old Testament perspective. It's been challenging for me. But we see God's grace working in the lives of Isaac and Jacob and Rebekah and Rachel and Leah. And none of them warranted it. But yet God's grace permeates their lives. Which of us deserves God's grace? Which of us deserves to know God through Jesus Christ? Not one here. This beautiful child we just baptized, surely in her beauty, she would deserve the love of God. Yes, the love of God is hers, but the grace of eternal salvation, even this beautiful child, is in need. Paul writes in Ephesians, "For it is by grace you have been saved, and that's through faith, and it's not from yourselves, it is a gift of God." Grace, amazing, amazing grace. As we go through this book, we will see again and again Paul's debating, Paul's negotiating, Paul's arguing for grace, the freedom that we find in Jesus Christ outside the bondages of the law. I love to preach these books. I love to teach the grace of God, and I love to see the relieving grace working in your lives. Many of you are testament to God's grace working tremendously in your life, removing the burdens that you once bore. When you came to understand the freedom that comes in Jesus Christ, the freedom that we have no obligation to tradition. We have no obligation to rules. We have obligation to Jesus Christ and to live lives that bring him glory. Now in that there are certain dues, but we do that not out of obligation. We do that out of love. Grace. It is an amazing, amazing thing. And just as I ask you, do you know of God's peace? I ask you, have you ever felt the grace of God in your life? Do you understand the warrant and do you understand the need of grace that we have? I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. He redeemed me 35 years. Wow. Long time ago. I was raised in the church. I was there every time the door opened. That's why at 18 I left. But God's favor never left me. God's grace never left me. And called me back and said, "Tim, in spite of you, in spite of you, I'll make you one of my children." That's grace. Everyone in this room probably has a story similar in one fashion or another. God's grace is amazing. It's overwhelming. I pray that you know in your life the way God's grace has worked. And then as a product of that, you understand the peace of which Paul is speaking of here. Grace and peace to each of you. Grace and peace. Amen.